Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know that this podcast is presented by mybookie.ag, and that if you use the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K, that you will get a 50% deposit bonus on your first deposit. And given that you are a listener to this podcast, I would assume you're relatively knowledgeable about sports, and I would trust you to try your edge on the online sportsbook. You can lay down some money and get in on the action at one of the safest online sportsbooks in the world. It's the only one that I am currently using. You can wager on all sorts of different outcomes on mybookie.ag, soccer, football, any major league, esports. You can even create your own player props, which is useful for me because if you know anything about me, I do enjoy a good player prop. So if you deposit using the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K, you get a 50% bonus when you deposit. And I will add this for listeners of the TakeCast. If you deposit using the promo code MATTEK and you send proof of it to me on Twitter, I will follow you on Twitter and you can have access to me via DMs whenever you want. That's the TakeCast bonus that I'm adding in association with the mybookie.ag deposit bonus. Now let's get back to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the most special possible edition of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. The guest for this episode is none other than our cult hero, one Mr. Jeff Janis, formerly of the Green Bay Packers and the Cleveland Browns. Jeff is on the podcast to talk about his time spent with the Packers, when he realized that he was a great athlete, the famous Arizona game where he caught 101 yards and a Hail Mary on the same drive, and a little bit about Rodgers and McCarthy and the direction that the NFL is going. You guys are, of course, going to love this podcast. If you want to support the show, leave a rating and review on iTunes. And if you really want to support the show and get more bonus content, you can support us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/TakeCast. And after a quick ad, we will get into the show. Hey guys, I just wanted to take a moment out from the show to tell you about our proud sponsor, DailyRoto.com. You guys know that I have joined up forces with Daily Roto and Roto Experts full-time and wanted to communicate to you a little bit about their golf product. Of course, with your premium subscription to Daily Roto, you get their amazing NFL, NBA, and MLB tools. They have also partnered with Data Golf to provide the best customizable projections for PGA DFS, as well as outright top 5 and top 20 betting. Using their tools, you can calculate the EV for outright top 5 and top 20 bets, as well as create the best and most customizable projections for PGA Daily Fantasy in the industry. You can save 10% on your subscription using the promo code RORY right now. And now back to the show. All right, everyone, very excited to welcome the number one person that I wanted to have on this podcast when it started, Jeff Janis, formerly of the Green Bay Packers and the Cleveland Browns and Saginaw Valley State. Jeff, how are you doing today, my guy?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's nice to finally be here.
yeah, very, very nice. I sort of got the picture after trying to track you down for a while. You just don't spend a ton of time on your phone, do you?
Not really. And I told you, I try to stay off Twitter just because of all the people that are on there, the negative people. So yeah, I try to avoid Twitter and, but the other social media outlets I'm pretty active on just because there's less opportunity for people to say stupid stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, Instagram is definitely a less negative place than Twitter is. Twitter is like the most negative place on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you grew up in a super small town in Michigan. I actually looked it up before we started going here. About 1,700 people. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, it's right around there somewhere.
Yeah. So 99% of us have probably never heard of it. And then you played college football at Saginaw Valley State in a city in Michigan that actually is, again, learning, Googling around. It's actually an unincorporated city. So these are small venues. How different do you think your experience was learning how to play football in those environments compared to, 90% of NFL players who are playing in, Power 5 conferences? A lot of them probably played high school football.
football in Texas or Florida, where right. they have, you know, massive stadiums to play high school football in.
Yeah. I mean, it was all I knew growing up. So, it, you know, it wasn't that big of a change for me. So, and then even when I went to the Packers, you know, that's a small town too. So it all kind of just blended well for me. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, coming from a small town, playing in a small school, and then, you know, ending up at the Packers, it all just meshed really well for me.
I actually didn't even think about that. Yeah, but Green Bay, like the actual town where Lambeau is and stuff, I mean, it's kind of just like any other small town in Wisconsin other than the fact that the football stadium is there. And I guess they have that really nice hotel, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the stadium is just surrounded by a bunch of residential houses, and Green Bay itself is really similar to Saginaw. I mean, it's kind of one strip with, you know, the malls and restaurants and everything, and then there's a stadium at the end, which is kind of similar to Saginaw, where I played.
Yeah. So my a question I've always wondered before talking to you is, kind of at what point did you realize that you were really good at football? Like, at what point did you realize, like, oh, I actually probably could play in the NFL. Like, I'm good enough to at least be a special teamer? Because I, again, looked more up. Only one guy ever from your college before you was drafted to the NFL, and it was a lineman. So kind of when did you realize that you were going to be able to play at that level?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I was always, you know, gravitating towards football. It was just one sport that I was just naturally better at, and I was always considered, you know, the fast kid and things like that. And then I never knew what was going to happen after high school. I didn't know what I was going to do, and then Saginaw Valley, you know, offered me a scholarship, so obviously I took it. But it took me, you know, a year or two to grow into my body. I was kind of a late bloomer, and it took probably until my junior year when I put up some pretty good stats. That's when I, you know, everybody kind of starts talking around you, like, man, you're going to go to the league, you're going to go to the league. And I didn't know. I just, you know, I'm just going to class and trying to get good grades and playing football along the side. So, and then, you know, going into my senior year when scouts started coming to practice and things like that, that's when I kind of realized that it might be possible.
So how did the invite to the NFL Combine go? Because I actually always kind of wonder about that. When guys go to the smaller schools, it's really not a lock at all that you'll get invited to the Combine.
Right.
So how was that process for you?
Well, I got invited by an email, so that was about as simple as it gets.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yep, I just opened an email that said, congratulations, you're invited, and you know, from there, I kind of knew that I was going to be successful at the Combine just because, you know, I've just always been one of those guys who just, I don't know, naturally just kind of good at the testing part of it.
You're selling yourself short. I have all of these numbers in a database, Jeff, and the closest physical comp to you in the NFL is Julio Jones. So don't sell yourself short. You are naturally gifted.
Yeah, and then, you know, when I went out to San Diego at Exos to train for the Combine, that only helped. So I felt really comfortable going to the Combine just because I knew that I was going to excel at those tests. And just the whole Combine itself was, I mean, it was a little stressful because they keep you up at night and they wake you up at 3 in the morning to do drug tests, and you're in the hospital going over testing and this and that. But it was all a pretty fun experience. I met a lot of cool guys along the way.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of talks with scouts there who, like, kind of didn't know who you were before the Combine, and then your numbers start to get posted up there, and they're like, wait, he's how tall, and he ran how fast? Like, was it sort of you walked in and no one knew who you were, and then at the end of the week you had a bunch of scouts talking to you?
Kind of. I mean, I had met some throughout practice in college, and I saw those guys again at the Combine. And I actually did talk to Edgar Bennett at the Combine just shortly when you go into that ballroom and you kind of just get shuffled around and scouts come grab you and talk to you for a few minutes. But for the most part, you know, I didn't feel like I was overwhelmed with interviews or anything like that. I never got pulled into, you know, one of the hotel rooms where they sit you down and question you and things like that. But I kind of felt like that was for more guys that, you know, either first round picks or guys that they weren't sure if they had character issues or whatever. So, like I said, I was just kind of enjoying the ride and I didn't know what to expect.
So where were you during the NFL draft? Were you just at home in Michigan? Were you with your family? Were you expecting to be drafted at all?
Yeah, based on what my agent was telling me, he was, you know, saying anywhere from the third to the fifth round. So I kind of had an idea that I was going to be drafted, and I was back to my hometown. One of my good friends growing up, his dad actually owned a local bar. So we had a bunch of Taos people there, a bunch of friends and family. The place was packed, lots of food and things like that. So, and as you can imagine, I don't get good reception up here in the small town. So
yeah, classic.
Phone, yeah, so I was having trouble talking to people on the phone. But yeah, eventually got picked up by the Packers, and everybody freaked out.
Who called you from the Packers? Was it McCarthy? Was it someone from the management team? Or was it just like an intern?
You know, I don't even remember. I couldn't even tell you. I was just like so excited. And I was just like, yeah, just agreeing with whatever they said. Yeah, man, sign me up.
So, I mean, it worked out pretty nice for you, though. Not a huge like culture shock going from Saginaw to Green Bay, I guess, as you mentioned. So you get to the Packers and you kind of just immediately become a contributor on special teams. And while all of this is happening, are you aware that during this time you kind of became like a minor internet celebrity to people who take football way too seriously on the internet?
No, man, I'm still trying to figure out why that happened or whatever that whole deal was. But hey, I got to take it if I got it.
So would you like some background to all of this?
Oh, for sure. I'd like to learn.
Okay. So right around the time that you got drafted, there was a website that got started called RotoViz. And, you know, most of what you hear on football, about football on TV, ESPN, these sites, you know, it's a lot of, like, guys who watch the film, and you hear about all these draft evaluations based on, like, grinding the tape.
Okay.
And this website that got started was like, well, you know, a lot of this is not super scientific. What if we looked, you know, much deeper into it and really analyzed the numbers? And that obviously, that ruffled a lot of people's feathers. And then you came out of Saginaw Valley, and something that we had found at this website was that small school wide receivers, so like D2 guys or non-Power 5 conference wide receivers who get like 50% of their team's receiving production, that it has like a really good correlation to doing well in the NFL, and you fit that threshold. And then you got invited to the combine, and you post these absurd numbers. And so basically all of us on the, you know, these nerds on the internet were like, well, this guy is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Aaron Rodgers has found his new, you know, whatever. This guy is going to take over the NFL. And of course, the other side, you know, the tape grinders are just saying, well, you know, he hasn't put that much on tape. I think some people probably called you a body catcher or whatever.
Yep.
I never saw it. But basically,
one of my favorite memes that I saw someone posted after the Arizona game, which I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yes.
Was of the you know, the frog sipping coffee, and it had my NFL combine, like, whoever did that review, you know, says inconsistent hands, doesn't go up for the ball, blah, 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 blah. And then it has a picture of the Arizona catch next to it. And I'm like, man, that is just perfect.
Yeah, because I actually think if anyone was willing to grind D2 Saginaw Valley State tape, they would have seen that you were not super inconsistent. You definitely were capable of producing, especially against guys who were like, I mean, some of those defensive backs that you played against in college just had absolutely no chance. But basically, what happened is you became just a giant wedge issue, and all these people who were like, oh, numbers have no place in football, they were rooting against you. All of us who were super into the numbers, we were rooting for you. And I'll actually claim this right now. I was the first fantasy football writer to write an article about you anywhere to be found on the internet. And so I became super closely tied to your brand, and so I was always rooting for you to get on the field, which was why that Arizona game was probably my favorite football game of all time, because people forget this. Not only did you catch the Hail Mary pass, but you had a 60-yard reception to set that up, so you had 101 receiving yards on that drive alone.
Yep.
So I assume most of your interactions with fans probably are about that Arizona game, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everybody, you know, gives me the replay of the scenario, what was going on, who was there, what their reaction, and it's pretty cool when you get to see people and they, you know, see how excited they get about it.
My favorite thing about that game was just that everyone I was watching with knew this about me, knew that I just was rooting so hard for you to succeed. And so when you caught the 60-yarder, we were all getting like very excited, and then you caught the touchdown, and it just like it was like pandemonium in our house. It was a very good game. What are your memories though? What did you really take away from that experience? Because I don't think I've heard you talk about that really.
Yeah, like you had mentioned in the email when we were talking back and forth, that it was kind of just a blur. I mean, that's kind of how it was, because all we had left was me, Jared Aberderis, and James Jones. Devontae was hurt. Randall got hurt early in that game, and it was just kind of one of those feelings like, okay, I'm in. So I didn't even think twice about it. I just kind of let my football brain take over, it was another practice or something, and I just tried to go out there and execute and make plays whenever they came my way.
Yeah, and I guess sort of after that game, so you guys did unfortunately lose, not through any fault
right.
of really not. And I, you know what, I actually think people forget that about that game. I think they assume that you caught that pass and the game ended.
Yep.
Like no one remembers that Green Bay actually lost that game. But your
<I know. laughs>
your season ends through no fault of the offense, really.
Yeah.
And
yep.
are you kind of assuming, okay, I've made myself clear, Aaron, trust me now. Were you kind of assuming the next season you were going to be a part, like a more regular part of the offense?
Oh, 100%. I thought that is what it took right there is, you know, for them to have to rely on me and for me to show them that I can produce. So obviously I was really excited going into that next season. I thought everything was going to, you know, keep rolling off that, and it kind of didn't, which it is what it is. I mean, you got to also look at who else is on the team. You know, you got Devontae, you have Jordy, you have Randall. So, I mean, to be placed in front of those guys, I think is something that obviously just isn't going to happen. And money plays a big role into that as well. But it is what it is. I'm happy with how everything ended up.
Well, didn't you break your hand during that training camp as well?
Yeah, I did, and I had a club on my hand, so I was still playing special teams with a big cast on, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it was fun to try and be a punt gunner when you can't use your hands at all.
Yeah, exactly. Try and tackle someone when you can only have one hand.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess from my perspective, I guess it was always a little bit frustrating because every time the team called upon you on offense, you always did well. In your first career start, I actually forget who it was, but you caught a touchdown in that game. It was a game in 2016, I think, that Devontae had to miss with, like, some injury. And I guess from your perspective, it has to be kind of frustrating that when your rookie contract came out, I guess they probably just didn't even approach you to re-sign you.
Yeah, pretty much. As far as I know, they weren't really interested. From what my agent was telling me, he said that the upfront office type people were kind of interested in re-signing me, but as far as the coaching staff and stuff, they weren't really, which it is what it is. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. I didn't take anything personal, so. It's NFL's business, so just had to move on.
Do you think that maybe a little bit of that was that McCarthy and Rodgers didn't want to be asked questions every week about why this like special teams guy wasn't playing more? Because that was something I always took away, was Rodgers would always get asked about you at press conferences, and he'd be like, "Oh, I know you guys want to talk about Jeff," and they'd like you know, and you guys are just like not. You probably weren't even practicing together. You were probably, I don't even remember who the backup was while you were there, but you were probably running not with Rodgers during practice most of the time.
Right. Yeah. I loved it that he kept getting questions about me. It's like, maybe if the media keeps asking him questions, maybe he'll start to look my way a little bit more.
That was what all of us watching from the outside were thinking. We were just like, at a certain point, you know, how many times can... Because Rodgers, you know, sort of the last 3 years, his career got altered from being looking like, oh, this guy might be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, to like, you know, he started to... I mean, I think people definitely think he's not even the best quarterback in the league now. And I think part of that is due to decisions that the front office has made. And, you know, Devontae is really great, but they let Jordy go. Randall's getting older, and they have guys now. I mean, Jeff, you're better than Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I want to put that out there right now. I think that the Packers offense would be better if you were out there running routes. They drafted three wide receivers this year when they could have just re-signed you.
Yeah, and that's kind of funny because you know, I've talked to some other people, and they're like, well, they didn't re-sign you, but they signed three guys that are almost exactly like you. So I don't know what's going on.
Valdes-Scantling actually, like, kept pulling in my combine numbers and stuff. He's very similar to you, but he wasn't nearly as good in college. He didn't have nearly the production that you did in college. But I think the Packers front office has done Rodgers a little bit of a disservice because, you know, outside of Devontae, they have not really spent draft capital on kind of anyone to really set him up. It's been a lot of wasted draft picks for him.
Yeah. And I mean, we had one game against the Falcons where, you know, all of our starters were hurt, and it was me and Trevor Davis and Geronimo Allison that were in there playing, and we each scored a touchdown that game. So that was another game that, you know, kind of got my hopes up, thinking, man, all right, we're gonna get some more playing time. We're gonna spread the ball out a little bit more, and you know, unfortunately, it just never happened.
Well, and I guess something else is, did you return punts in college?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Or kicks.
So they put you on kick returns your rookie season your second year. They put you on kick returns, and you were good at that. And then the next year they were like, well, no, now they're taking it away from you. And it just that never made sense to me.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that made me scratch my head. You know, when I think when you take your first kickoff return, you know, 60 yards, I feel like that's pretty good. So I don't know. Something that I just always scratch my head, but hey, you know, I'm also one of those people who don't complain. I just show up to work and do my best and grateful for the opportunities that I've been given. So I just kind of got to deal with it.
Yeah, and they have new leadership there in Green Bay now, so I'm hopeful that some of those front office people might get their way and get you back in there. But you actually spent the preseason of 2018 with the Browns, sort of the final months of Hugh Jackson, and this massive ESPN story just came out this last week, kind of just about all of the crazy dysfunction in that building. How much of that did you get to witness in your time there?
I don't know about witnessing it, but there's just a feeling that you get that I think it was really smart for them to get rid of Hugh, just because I just felt like there was this looming thing of, like, we're the Browns. We don't win. It's just hard. So I think definitely them changing up the coaching staff is something that they needed to do. It's kind of similar to the feeling that you have in Green Bay. When you're there, there's just this feeling that, like, we win. Like, that's just how it is. And it's just, the feeling was kind of the opposite when you're in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think that kind of stuff, you know, no one really talks about that sort of in the analytics community, right? Like this newfound numbers analysis. I actually think that that's probably something that the old school football guys get right, is that culture definitely does matter. And that Browns culture under Hugh Jackson was not good.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess now the question is, what is next for you? Do you have any interest in playing in any of the other leagues than the NFL, like the American Football Alliance, I think the league is called, or the CFL?
Yeah, I've had some offers for CFL. I'm not really interested in it. For me, it's pretty much just NFL or nothing, mainly because I know I can play in the NFL. And, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, being a small town guy, I'm really close with my family. I'm not, you know, I have a one, it's going to be two in April, so it's almost a 2-year-old. Not really interested in, you know, being away from my family or moving, you know, to Canada or anything like that. So, you know, I'm like I said, if I don't play football, I'm happy. If I do, I'm happy. I mean, if it happens, great. But if not, you know, I'll continue on.
What is the last year of not having been in the league been like? Are you just like training and hunting every day?
Yeah, this hunting season I got to hunt quite a bit, which was pretty awesome. So yeah, I'm definitely just staying ready, staying in shape. Even, you know, like I said, even if I don't play football anymore, I'm probably not going to change my routine. I'm just going to keep working out and staying in shape, and we'll see what happens next.
Very cool. Do you have any other, you know, kind of overarching thoughts? Actually, this is something I want to get your thoughts on. The NFL this last season, it was the most pass-happy season ever. Teams scored more of their touchdowns via passing than ever. And kind of as someone, you know, inside the league, how do players feel when their coaches are kind of putting them at a disadvantage? Like when coaches see how successful other teams are at passing the football and passing it often, how do the players feel when their team is, you know, running on 2nd and 10, not going for it on 4th and 1? How does that kind of impact the players in the locker room?
It's very frustrating, and I've seen a lot of that go on when I was with the Packers. I mean, you just get a lot of behind-the-scenes talking going on, and I think it starts to separate, you know, the connection that you have between the coaches and the players. And if you don't trust your coaches on calling the right plays, I mean, it's just going to make things that much harder. And I think that's what you saw this year with the Packers and Coach McCarthy. So that's why another good move, I think, by the Packers is getting somebody else in there to spice things up and make a connection with the players and, you know, have one of those like young, explosive offenses.
Do you think that McCarthy and Rodgers used to like each other and then didn't like each other anymore? Like, I guess, I don't even know. How often were you even in the room with those two guys?
Pretty much only during offensive meetings whenever Coach McCarthy was in there, but I never saw any sort of dysfunction between the two. I thought it was just a pretty normal relationship, but who knows? It could have been something going on there. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's always something that's like, you know, murmured about. And Rodgers has you know, a lot of flaws and obviously a lot of things that makes him great, but he is like, he's so expressive on the field. You never have to like wonder like, oh, I wonder if he's upset with the play calling right now or upset with this wide receiver, this blocker. You can always tell. And he was maybe at an all-time high of the bad body language this last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and as a player, that was something I wasn't a fan of, just because, you know, I'm a small school guy, and all of a sudden I'm here playing with the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback, and, you know, I think positive reinforcement works a lot better than negative, so I think I've seen that with a lot of young guys that were coming in, you know, in my 3rd and 4th year when I would see rookies come in, and, I mean, it can tear you down and break a player. I mean, you can take a really good player, and if you just keep doing that stuff to him, I mean, he's going to start into be one of those guys that you can't count on and stuff, because he just, you know, feeling like he's, you know, inconsistent and starting to get down on himself. So I don't know. It's one of those things that you can't really change because he is the way he is. So.
And it's not like the organization is going to reprimand the star quarterback so that the you know, the 6th and 7th round draft picks can get more playing time. But I do think it is something like I think, you know, 20 years from now we're going to look back on this time in Green Bay and we're going to say what were they all doing with Aaron Rodgers? They won one Super Bowl, right? And they had Aaron Rodgers. They like I think if you play things over a little bit and the organizational structure is a little bit more conducive to player development, I mean, what is the reason that Rodgers couldn't have, you know, won 3 Super Bowls? Like I think the Packers roster was normally better than the Seahawks roster, which kind of dominated the NFC for the last 5 years.
Yeah, and I think it kind of goes back to what I said earlier about just the coaching style of McCarthy. You know, he's an old school style coach, and there was just a lot of times we were like, man, look, we gotta do something here. And it was just like, you know, punting the ball or running it. And it's like, man, we gotta do something to get some energy into this team. And, you know, a lot of that comes through the offense, and we just weren't able to do it sometimes. So I think it's a good move by them.
Well, and the Packers offense, even when they did pass it, I guess a common criticism I've heard is that the route concepts you guys were being asked to run were oftentimes like just very archaic. A lot of slant routes, a lot of flats, and not a ton of stuff to get down the field, and like probably like no option routes at all.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch games now, it seems like, holy cow, all these guys are getting so wide open, and then you know, I'm finally able to sit back and watch a Packers, you know, season. And it's just like, it's night and day difference compared to some other teams. And it's like, man, it's just the same old stuff. And that's why, I mean, I think that things are looking up for the Packers with the coaching change.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Matt LaFleur, the results, I guess we could say, with the Titans were not super great. It's not like they were blowing the doors off anyone on offense, but at least LaFleur showed that he could get creative with what he was provided. They ran a lot of jet motion. They ran a lot of different formations, and I think NFL teams that aren't doing that now are really putting themselves at a disadvantage.
Yeah, and you do know where he played college football, right?
Did Matt LaFleur play at Saginaw Valley?
You're darn right he did.
Oh, Jeff, who do I have to call? What do we have to do to get you back on the Packers this year? If I can do anything to help to get you a tryout or to get you back and have a workout with them, I will do it, because it would just be too perfect for McCarthy to be fired and then for you to come back and have like a 90 catch season with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Because I think they probably won't bring Randall Cobb back. I think he probably just played his last year with the team.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out in free agency. Hopefully he gets picked up and gets paid well. But LaFleur was a quarterback at Saginaw, and he actually played with Ruvell Martin, who also was a receiver for the Packers for a while. So I got to talk with him a little bit when we played against Atlanta, when LaFleur was with Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Super nice guy. And that would be pretty cool to get picked up back by the Packers and be able to play for him.
The Saginaw Valley connection. Who was your quarterback in college? Do you remember? Do you still talk to him?
Oh, yeah. John Jennings. He's the quarterback for the BC Lions now.
No way. I actually watched the CFL because it's on in the offseason. I had no idea he played at Saginaw Valley.
Yep.
That's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
man, he's got a good arm. He's a good quarterback.
All right, before we go, let me get your pick for the Super Bowl. Let me hear Jeff Janis's Super Bowl preview analysis.
Man, I don't know. Hopefully it's a good game. If I had to pick someone, I'm probably going to say the Patriots, just because Tom Brady's a winner and he's always going to find a way to win. So I'm probably going to have to go with the Patriots.
Brutal. Watching what he did to my boy Patrick Mahomes was a very brutal game to watch, man.
Yep. Hopefully he's able to get the ball off with that D line that he's going against, but I'm sure he's got a plan for it.
He hasn't been sacked once the whole postseason. Isn't that insane?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think he's probably only been hit like twice, and one of them was a roughing the passer penalty.
Oh, wow.
Pretty nice life Tom has has designed for him there. Best offensive line ever. Hall of Fame offensive line coach. You know, just no problems for Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Jeff, thank you so much, man. The people are going to lose their minds for this. This is probably going to be the most popular podcast I've ever done.
Hey, that's awesome. I appreciate your support ever since day one, man. I've always seen your name on Twitter and all the support you have. That's why I had to follow you, because I'm like, man, this guy knows what's up. So I appreciate all the support.
Absolutely, man. And you know, when we get you back on the Packers roster, we'll have to do a good victory lap. We'll do whatever it takes to get you there, buddy.
Yeah, man. Start a petition on Twitter or something.
Okay, deal. That's what we'll do.